Welcome to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. I am one half of your Quizmaster hosts, Lee Breschneider. I'm joined here with Mr. Mark Davis.
Hello, I'm the other
Mark.
Half. Hello.
He is the other half. Every week, Mark and I get together and share our favorite questions we've asked at our own trivia events and talk about the nuts and bolts of how we write questions. But before we get started with that, first, I want to say thank you for coming out to my trivia on Monday night.
You are welcome. I had a very good time. It was my first time watching you host, and you did great.
Thanks, man. Yeah, we almost had a packed house at Three Pepper downtown Fort Myers, including our friend Seth, who I noticed you did not invite to your team.
He's a loner. Dottie, a rebel. He always does his own thing. I don't think I've ever been on a team with him. Maybe once at Stevie Tomatoes forever ago, but...
didn't take.
Well, you know, he just does his own thing, and he likes to challenge himself.
Yeah, it did get a little controversial with your team, the Wet Boys. You guys won, but there was some talk of collusion.
First of all, I just have to say,
yeah,
this is our second time recording this intro because you boffed it.
Mm-hmm.
And last time you called us the Hot Boys.
I say Wet Boys this time?
This time you did.
Okay. Let's
see, I don't want to make it sound like you knew right off. You called us the Hot Boys. God. Yes. I just have to let that be known.
Right. Yeah. So we recorded this intro once already, and when we finished, I looked over and realized it had been recording the same 10-second loop. For 70 takes.
So that didn't work out so well.
Yeah, we're doing this again. But anyway, what I was getting at is there was a little brief moment where people thought that there was some collusion between maybe me and you because your team won a round. I scored the round incorrectly like a doofus, you know, and gave you some points you did not earn or deserve.
Right.
And Seth was keeping track, luckily, and he was like,
And he actually had asked me in between rounds what we had put pretty much for every answer. And I told him, boom, he was like, right, wrong. And I think he got only one wrong out of the six.
And yes, you both got one wrong. I can't remember what the question was, but...
If I thought about it.
Well, you got two wrong. That was the thing.
Yes, and he got one wrong. Yeah. And the one that he knew that we got wrong was what age was Michael Jackson when he started with the Jackson 5.
Mm-hmm.
He was 5 years old. We put like eight.
Eight.
He knew it was earlier, yep, and he put 5. And then there was another one that we both got wrong. And, it was the NBA speech where he said, I feel sorry for my kids.
I wouldn't want to be you if I had a choice.
Yeah. And we put we had both put Charles Barkley, which was wrong. It was Michael Jordan. That was the one we both got wrong, but he knew that we didn't get the other one wrong, and he came up and protested, which you should have.
Yeah, we don't mind at all if you're writing the points down, keeping us honest, you know? I mean,
I prefer it.
Yeah, we make mistakes too.
Absolutely.
If you prick our fingers, do we not bleed?
And likewise, Seth came out to my trivia this week. And one of the questions was, in what U.S. state would you find Mount Vernon? Which generally people think of George Washington, they think of Virginia. But there's also a Mount Vernon in New York, which is what Seth had put. And he came up and showed me, and I said, okay, you're right. And I think it was like, you know, 4 extra points where it didn't end up making, you know, the difference.
Yeah,
but
maybe you just need to add the word celebrated. The celebrated Mount Vernon.
Ooh.
Not the unknown Mount Vernon.
See, that's a good way to put it.
And, of course, Seth would be like, I celebrate New York Mount Vernon every year on Mount Vernon Day. It's a traditional local holiday in Mount Vernon, New York.
Yeah.
Is Mount Vernon a city or is it actually a mount?
I think it's probably a city.
Okay.
Yeah. At this point.
Well, I want to wish a hearty congratulations to the Tromboners, my Wednesday night winners at Bury Me Brewing Company, who had a final score of 86, which I believe is a personal high record score for that location. And congratulations also to my Thursday night winners, Red Hair Don't Care, a group of gingers and pseudo-gingers who won with a 10-point lead, 84 points total. Mark, how did your teams do over your weekly Wednesday night trivia at Nice Guys Pizza?
They did good. I had a legitimate meltdown, about as meltdown-y as can be, I guess. So I have a little Bluetooth keyboard I use, and it ran out of batteries. I've used the same batteries for, you know, 3 years or something like that in this little keyboard I have. And
Wednesday night was the night.
Wednesday night was the night. I went to go turn it on. And the lights just started blinking, and I was like, okay. And I offered bonus points for AAA batteries because I didn't know what the hell to do.
It's resourceful of you. Only you have the points and the authority to give those out.
Yeah.
So it's very valuable.
And, yeah, so I like to play God every once in a while. Just get some points. Yeah, I just get sick. I get drunk with power, and I'm just like, you win if you give me AAA batteries. Just please help me.
Everyone wins, really.
Yeah, then everybody wins that scenario. So my team that won, we talked earlier this morning, actually even before the first take at breakfast, about team names.
Yeah.
And you are a fan of the steady name. You're a yes. fan of the... You maybe feel a little warmth when you know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I like the expectation and I like the rivalry, you know, that develops. Like, there's clear rivalries at my number three location.
Mm-hmm.
We have a team that brings, they're known as the Squeaky Chairs because they always sit at a table that has squeaky chairs. And they bring a dog named Peanut. And there's another team with our friend Alex who, as I mentioned in this podcast previously, uses his team name to engage in psychological warfare with mm-hmm. the squeaky chairs. He will attack Peanut with his own team name.
So you're kind of like a jock when it comes, you're yeah. like a trivia jock.
Oh yeah. I love the spirit of competition.
See, you know? I'm the opposite. I like the change in names. I like, you know, the more the merrier. I like people, you know, bringing up current events in their name and making puns and this, that, and the other thing. But this team,
yeah,
the team that won this week.
Their name.
They started with shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Okay.
And then...
This is one of those metamorphosing yes, team names.
And I can't fucking stand
you
it.
You get it. We agree, actually. You hate the changing name, too. It's just occurring much more rapidly
well, in your okay, team here's name. The thing.
Round by round.
You tell me at the beginning, this week. Is my team.
Yeah.
Okay, then for the rest of the day, you're this team. That's fine. But... You know, you put it in first, and then for the rest of the time, all you got to do is score. You don't have to type in team names, etc. And I've seen a couple trivia hosts who do this thing where you, as soon as you come and pick up answer sheets, you have to give the team name right away, which I think that's ridiculous. Like, give them a minute.
Oh, either. Give them a round.
Come on.
Till I start yeah. scoring. It's not too much to put in those.
Right. Then you can put in topical names. Things from yeah. the conversation. If you say something during the first round, you know, blah, 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 blah. Right. Actually, one of my team names was, I said, you know, does anybody here have AAA batteries? Maybe someone has a pocket rocket.
Bingo, and, tingo.
And someone wrote, someone put their team name. My pocket rocket runs on double Ds.
Hey.
Okay. That's yeah. a big pocket rocket, eh?
Yeah.
So yeah.
So shoulda, woulda, coulda. Became...
Then it was shoulda, it was something to do with Donald Trump and that whole thing, which we won't get into, mm-hmm. but it was shoulda, coulda, woulda, and then shoulda, coulda, woulda. I meant to say would have or wouldn't have, or, you know, something like that. Something play on. And
what an obnoxious team name for you.
I've already got enough going on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Cut us some slack, please.
Right. So they're the ones that won, and we had a little bit of a shouting match after the second round when it had metamorphosized and turned into the liquid form before emerging as a butterfly. And they were like, you screwed it up. And I was like, I don't have time to retype in your fucking name.
Ultimately, we're going to call you what we want to call you.
Right.
Like, we are the shot callers and the name callers. And the point totalers.
There
and
is
the question
a question
askers.
Yeah, there's a trivia where they just give you a number.
Yeah.
They'll you'll
like
come in
like a concentration camp victim.
Whoa.
I'm just saying. That's the extent that some of these... Be thankful that we're not them.
I can't wait to
I'm
make
saying.
Up a theme song for Hate Man. Because we're going to get one of those. This guy had the fucking guts.
Oh,
this
man. No, hashtag
to Lincoln, to Lincoln concentration camp victims to trivia teams.
No, the other way around. The other way around. Well, yeah. I likened them the other way around. Anyway, to get back on topic here and off of that terrible joke, congratulations to Shoulda, Woulda, Coulda and all the teams that came out
points.
To play 67 points to them. To play No Nonsense Trivia Live this past week in Southwest Florida. If you missed it, upcoming events include No Nonsense Trivia Challenge Monday, July 23rd at Three Pepper Burrito Company in downtown Fort Myers, Florida. A special two-hour edition of No Nonsense Wednesday, July 25th at Bury Me Brewing Company. And Thursday, July 26th at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in Cape Coral. It's free to play. You can win prizes. You can even pick your own name. We won't give you a number like some trivia Auschwitz. All you got to do is show up, come out and play, and hopefully I'll keep all those gigs after making that joke. All right, we're going to take a short break, and then we'll get on to asking some trivia in round number one.
Thank you.
Mark, I believe you have questions for me.
I do. All right. I have 7 of them.
Nice.
To be exactly.
Nice. Only 3 in this first round, right?
But only 3 in this first round.
Good, because that's what I preferred. Our typical format.
Preferred. All right. Let's go ahead and get started.
Now give it to me.
Give me that funk, that sweet, that nasty, that gushy stuff.
That's all we're allowed to use for copyright purposes. Yeah.
Question number 1. Yeah. Who played the role of Norman Bates in the 1998 remake of Psycho?
Ooh. So I do know the answer to this, and this is one of my favorite eras of this actor. Because he was also in some other forgotten gems, like The Cell by the director Tarsim. Mm. Single name director. That's a great movie with a unexpected comedic actor who is also Norman Bates in Psycho. Also this era, you can find on his IMDb page, Jurassic Park, The Lost World.
Mm.
He was in that as well. I'm talking about Vince Vaughn.
That's correct. Vince Vaughn. The only thing I remember with The Cell is seeing J-Lo take her pants off and smoke a joint.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah. Which, I can't remember when that movie came out. But
It's a really, I mean, I just knew, like when I saw it, I was like, this movie feels different visually. I didn't know anything about who directed it or anything, but it was totally different. It's about 2 cops that are chasing the serial killer across the Midwest. J-Lo and Vince Vaughn teaming up with each other, and it's a non-comedic role for him. He plays it very straight, and you know, she kind of understands where she's following the serial killer and like the dark path that it's going down, and he's kind of like, you know, confident at first, and then he's like, what the fuck is going on, this is crazy,
right?
So I actually never did see the remake of Psycho though, so I've not seen him in this role, but I imagine he'd be pretty good in it.
Yeah,
it's a classic classic Hitchcock movie.
I fought very hard for his. He was in another movie called Clay Pigeons. That was kind of dark comedy, but he played it pretty straight. And I kept trying to sing his praises when True Detective season 2 is coming out, because everybody knew he was going to be playing a serious role. I was like, he's good, and then it came out, and he wasn't.
Yeah.
He wasn't
very well. Good. This is where I disagree with you and most of the world. If this is probably my Justice League, 98%
of the world, yeah,
where everybody's like, that's crap, and I'm like, no. But I guess I also have that with Lost. I'm still a fan of Lost.
I think Lost still has plenty of
True Detective season 2. I do believe is actually good. I don't understand why people don't like it.
You don't
it.
Think it's better than season 1 though, right?
I don't think it's better than season 1, okay. But as a fan of season 1, I loved season 2, and okay. I'm excited about season 3. I know a lot of people are looking at it like this could be a redemption thing, but as long as it fits the mold of what they got going, which is kind of this modern noir, you know, modern color noir.
I have a feeling they learned from season 2.
Yeah. Okay. They learned all the right things to do, you mean? All right. Here's my first question for you.
Okay.
Rocky, Michael Corleone, Mario, Luigi. There have been a lot of great Italian characters in the world of fiction, but what fictional character's name is Italian for Pinehead? What fictional character's name, when translated from Italian into English, means Pinehead?
Pinhead?
No, that's quite clever though.
Yeah, I was just like, could it be easy?
If he smelled like evergreen.
Oh, well, it kind of looks like he has a pine cone head.
Is that a serious answer or was that a joke answer?
It was serious but preemptive. It was just kind of like the first thing that popped into my mind.
Gotcha. Okay. I'll let you have a second stab at this.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what. I know this is going to be one of those things where you say it and I go, oh my God, what the hell?
Yeah.
But I keep on trying to think of what Italian for head is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just trying to think of other things that sound like other languages, like how you would say head, and I'm completely blanking.
Head. No, it's not that.
Head dough. Just put a different sound at the end or beginning. Head do. That's Japanese.
So you're on the right track. If you start thinking about these words, maybe not head, but maybe pine.
Oh, yeah, that's no
help. No?
I don't think so. You said Mario, Luigi.
Yeah, these are just other Italian characters. I know. They're not the answers, though. Rocky, Michael Corleone.
Okay. So I was thinking maybe you're naming all comic book characters or all movie characters or something. Though I guess Mario and Luigi did have a
this
movie.
Is a fictional character of lore.
Of lore. That's not going to help me at all.
This is some of that shit that Disney just stole from the real world, you know, fictions and history, and then turned it into a character that everybody thinks belongs to them. Does that help?
No.
I'm going to give you the answer.
Okay.
Pinocchio.
Oh!
See? He's made of wood. Pinehead.
Okay. Wow.
It's kind of like, I don't know, I kind of was hoping it would be something like SpongeBob. It's Pinocchio.
How many people got that right?
I think two teams got that right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So Pinehead. Yeah.
All right.
It's no Mabibia.
No. Namibia?
It's a Pinocchio.
Okay. All right. Question number two for you. What rapper is alternatively known as Young Renzel and the Teflon Don? Young Renzel. I know you've been dabbling in hip-hop as of late.
Mm-hmm.
Dibblin and dabblin, but not Dublin.
Dabbin like Swidworth.
Okay.
Oh, I said Swidworth.
You did.
Swidworth.
Slow motion.
But I didn't say Squidworth.
No.
Young Renzel.
The Teflon Don.
I don't know why I'm thinking... Teflon Don, nothing sticks. I don't think it's related, though, to his other alias. I'm thinking Wu-Tang Clan for some reason. And
they are known for their nicknames.
Yeah. And I want to say it's either the RZA or the GZA. And I'm going to go with GZA.
You're incorrect.
Okay.
The correct answer is... Ross the Boss, Rick Ross.
Oh.
Rick Ross, the Teflon
Don. I guess I need to dabble into his territory a little bit.
Yeah,
more.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Bet you
I
might
don't know
be.
Why, like, I, you know, I'm very persuaded by things that I read on the internet, and they'll kind of set the mood for my interest. Mm-hmm. And one of the first things I heard about Rick Ross was like, this man was a correctionals officer. He never
that
sold
was,
drugs.
And that
I was like, well,
all
right, I'm just not going to listen to him. And then I never did. I never followed up on that, which might be a little unfair.
Yeah, you're missing
out.
Because
he's an artist.
He's got some art stuff, yeah. He's an artist.
What can you recommend to me?
Not much. I don't.
You were just talking him up.
No,
what do you mean?
Yeah, I mean, he's just, I'm just
look
saying.
At his top five on Spotify. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah.
Just all right, I'll check him out.
Put it on.
All right. Question number two. For 2 points apiece, which it's not relevant to our podcast because we're not keeping score.
Right.
What two members of the Beatles were left-handed?
Paul McCartney.
Mm-hmm. 2 points to you.
I mean, did the other one play right-handed? Because I can't think of anybody else in the band that they didn't play right-handed. I'm going to say George Harrison.
It's Ringo Starr.
Oh, he played a right-handed drum set, though.
He did. I think I remember when I was researching this, when I was fact-checking, I think I remember reading that they both sometimes, both Paul and Ringo, sometimes played right-handed.
So here's an interesting Beatles fact. This is something that I would never ask because I think it would venture into too difficult.
Whoa, that's saying something.
Yeah. The first two songs on the White Album are Back in the USSR.
You don't know how
and then it fades into Dear Prudence. Both of those songs were recorded with Paul McCartney on drums because Ringo Starr had quit the Beatles.
Ah.
And they were like, well, we got to fucking record, so away we go. And after that, he came back and they listened to it and they were like, well, we're just going to keep this. And Ringo was like, all right, then. And just like probably cried a bit. But
peace and love.
I'm a drummer and yeah. The drums in those two albums are fucking great. I mean, they're perfect.
Didn't he also play drums on the track... The Ballad of John and Yoko.
I believe so.
I think that, John and Paul recorded that together. And John played bass and Paul played the drums. And I think there's a point in that track where Paul McCartney, while he's playing drums, yells out something like, you hear that, Ringo?
I've never heard that.
I'll have to go back and listen for that. But that is, in my opinion, an underrated Beatles song. I think people just assume it's too straightforward, a little boring or something like that. But it's just an old school Chuck Berry ripoff.
There was a big picture that went around that I don't know how legitimate it was, but I think I looked it up once and it was where someone, you know, they're at a press conference and someone said, is Ringo the best drummer in the world? And I think it's John Lennon says Ringo's not even the best drummer in the Beatles.
Yeah, I've seen like, that one.
Super harsh. Super fucking harsh.
You see it all over his face, too.
Oh, yeah. All right. You owe me a question?
No, I just asked you about the Beatles.
Oh, you're correct. Okay. Let's do this. Do you want a music question?
Throw it at me.
I'm wondering if you'll know this. What band has released albums such as California 37, Bulletproof Picasso, and For Me, It's You?
Hmm.
This is not a, in my opinion, not a very good band. They're a talented band, maybe, but...
Give me the albums one more time. They sound very modern. Very,
it is, almost it is a modern band. They are still active.
Yeah.
California 37,
mm-hmm.
Bulletproof Picasso, and For Me, It's You.
I don't know why I'm not a fan, but I'm being drawn towards 21 Pilots.
That's incorrect. The correct answer is Train.
Oh.
And I don't know why the fuck it made... I just had the idea. I think I looked up something and it had Train. It talked about Train and I was like, oh.
That was the opposite of Rick Ross. I actually heard Train first and then decided not to listen to them.
Yeah, it's a very
That's an honest, sincere act on my part.
With drops of Jupiter in your hair.
Yeah, I have no apologies for not knowing the answer to that question.
Good.
You know, I used to listen to Howard Stern a lot. And he's a big Train fan. He's always trying to sell that Train. I ain't having it. All right. Let's see here. All right. Question number three for you, sir. I'm going to include a little joke that I wrote.
Oh, okay.
This live. So you test out my material on you. Before I ask this next question, I've been ordered by the Acme Trivia Board of Sensitivity and Ethics to issue a warning about it, as it may disturb and bring back painful memories to some from the year 2016. In that year, what gorilla became a martyr after being shot by zoo security in the name of protecting a toddler who had carelessly fallen into his pen?
What a long lead-in. Yeah. How fantastic.
That's from the Norm Macdonald school of Shaggy Dog stories. Where are we going with this? So much detail.
It's like, why have we done this? Yeah, I love misdirecting in the beginning of a question.
Yeah.
Like, I would always do, you know, so-and-so died, how old were they?
Mm-hmm.
And I would do that a couple weeks, you know. It was like one of those times where just fucking people were just dropping like flies. I mean, they still do, but
right.
Famous people were just boom, 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 boom. I'd say, how old were they? How old were they? How old were they? And then one week I'd be like, da-da-da-da-da, someone, someone, someone. And everybody would expect how old, you know, how old were they when they died? And I'd be like, shrup. And then I'd be like, what was the TV show they were in? Or something, people would be like, ugh.
The game gets switched.
I took so much, you know, attention trying to remember how old they were that I didn't realize that you might ask another question about them entirely.
Right. I mean, you really got to pay attention because some people, they'll hear it and then they'll check out of the rest of the question. They'll write down an answer to the question they thought was being asked.
Right.
You know, and they didn't miss the real question at the end.
Right. All right. Read me one more time because I just want to hear that lead in and everything.
All right. Here it is.
Because I know it.
Before I ask this next question, I've been ordered by the Acme Trivia Board of Sensitivity and Ethics to issue a warning about it, as it may disturb and bring back painful memories to some from the year 2016. In that year, what gorilla became a martyr after being shot by zoo security in the name of protecting a toddler who had carelessly fallen into his pen?
What a journey that is.
Thanks,
what
man.
A trip that is.
I put a little, you know, attention to detail on it.
That's good.
I want my people to be entertained.
You yeah. Definitely put on a whole thing. The correct answer is Harambe.
Harambe, also known as Harambe. Is Harambe the wrong pronunciation?
I don't know.
So getting back to our team names, a team that came in late. See, they had some time. They listened to the questions and they were like, oh, that's going to be our team name, actually. Harambe's Revenge.
There you go. Know? Okay, so, there you are.
I like
that's
it.
That's why it pays to wait.
Yeah. All right, so that was my third. Do you have one more, or is that?
I think that's it for us.
Okay. We're going to go ahead and take another short break, and we will see you on the flip side in round two.
Bye-bye. 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 Bye-bye.
We're back.
Oh, fuck.
A sweet, sweet tea leaves.
Love a good tea leaf.
All right. Before we ask our round two questions, we are going to have some missed corrections.
Missed corrections.
We got some feedback about the question that we posed of whether or not to split the podcast into two shorter episodes a week. The message has been, I'm sorry, the answer has been quite a resounding no. People like listening to the longer format, and we like listeners, so we're going to keep with this 50-minute format. Two rounds
of questions.
50-ish. And a final question. We'll be sticking with that for the foreseeable future. Oh, by the way, Mark, speaking of listeners, it's a little early to get the overall numbers, but on SoundCloud, we're at 200 plays total, which is great.
Yeah. I'll take that.
Thanks, everyone. I'm surprised
there's one person.
Yeah, I know. I mean, besides us, obviously, we would probably listen to it.
Right.
We do listen to it. I listen to it all the time on repeat. Get those play counts up. You know what I'm saying?
I do. I do. I know and I agree.
Just kidding. I've only listened to it probably 5 or 6 times an episode. Anyway, if you like this podcast, share with a friend or on your social media accounts. Our friend Kristen wrote in commenting that the podcast lends well to conversation. So I guess that's like a play at home version. I like that. I like the conversation we're having with our listeners through this missed correction segment. So please write in with any thoughts, corrections, elaborations. We might just read them on the air.
Yeah. Also, I had a listener, a friend of mine that I went to high school with, TJ Noonan, who told me a little love story that he and his wife actually met, or not met, but one of the first times they knew that they were into each other. They were playing Trivial Pursuit, which is, you know.
Yes.
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 it's about as close as you get. And he pulled this swift move. If you get this question wrong, you have to kiss me. And if you get it right, I have to kiss you.
I get it. There's very a kiss suave. Happening either way.
One way or another. Mm-hmm. And
that's it was the last time I saw her.
Well, they're married, so
Oh, no, that's great. That's great. Congratulations to them. Good work, TJ.
Fantastic.
Nice move.
So they apparently it was.
It worked out.
Yeah, it worked out for them.
Cool. Well, yeah, let's congratulations to them and listeners. Yes, please share the podcast, write in, have a conversation with us. You know, we'll probably comment back and we'll read it on the air and talk about it.
For sure, for a limited time only until we get too big.
Right.
Too big to fail.
Right. Right.
And we forget all of our friends.
We might already be there.
So I think I went first last time.
Yes, I've got one for you.
Okay.
It's also a music question, very music-heavy episode today.
Okay.
What classic rock album by Mr. Bossman Bossy Pants Bruce Springsteen was the first record to be pressed as a CD in the United States?
Well, I think I knew this.
A long time ago.
Yeah. I know it's one of the best-selling albums of the 80s. I'm guessing it's got to be Born to Run.
No.
Ooh.
It's Born in the USA.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
First pressed in the USA and born in the USA.
Born to Run isn't even an album, I don't think. It's just Born
to
Run. No, it's a song. The American flag in his butt and the handkerchief.
Annie Leibovitz photo.
I just called it the wrong thing.
Okay, you knew it. I mean,
but still.
That happened to me with the Alps.
Yeah.
Remember in episode 2, I believe.
I do.
The beer question. The Alps?
Yeah, I just spoke too soon. I got too excited.
And I think also, but, you know, just to back me up a little bit, back up my own answer there. Okay. I think there is beer from the Alps, by the way.
I'm sure there is.
The Trappist beer, the Buddhist monks that brew I'm beers sure there is. In the walls.
But when you think beer, you don't
think I think of Trappist monks, Mark. Yeah, that's okay. Exactly who I think of first.
That's how hipster you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing.
All right. What's your first question for this round?
My first question for you for this round is, France defeated Croatia in the World Cup.
Thank you.
What was the final?
I literally did not know that. people will be like, they asked me for a hint at trivia. They were like, did this country just win the World Cup? And I honestly told them, I don't know. I'm the trivia guy. I'm supposed to know like obscure facts. I'm not even keeping up.
Well, that's the thing. News. You focus so much on obscure facts, right? Big facts, like who's president. It's like, I don't know. I can tell
William
you
William Jefferson Clinton.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, France and Croatia.
France defeated Croatia in the World Cup final. What was the final score?
Oh, fuck. Oh, I really have no idea. I do know...
You didn't even know France won. You said, yeah. Thank you.
I do know that they're generally lower scores in football.
Mm-hmm.
Under 10, usually, per side. Like hockey, as well.
Generally under 5, I would say.
Yeah. But, I don't know. Sometimes it gets crazy. You'll get...
Sometimes, but generally... You say, you
when
said
I used
generally.
To play FIFA 2010 on the Xbox 360, I'd be getting 12-point games all day long. Yeah. That's I'm not unfamiliar with it, but, you know, if there's time in my life for sports, I might watch a couple games, but generally...
Can you think of any chance ever where you'd know the score, but not the team who won? Or not the teams playing?
No, there's no...
I can't think of any conceivable moment where someone would be like...
Right.
Well, I mean, maybe if it was like
so
a funny
So that's the
score.
Moment I'm in right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 3-1.
You're really close, actually. 4-2.
Oh, damn. All right.
4-2.
Okay. So
I like to throw, I think people at my trivia of two areas they hate having questions.
Mm-hmm.
Sports.
Yeah.
Largely.
And it's weird because I'm not a sports fan and for some reason I love asking sports questions.
And books.
Mm-hmm. Same.
I mean, just like, you know, who wrote this? You hear moans and groans. It sounds like a bunch of miserable.
It's a strange time we're living in. I don't even think we addressed this, but the Beatles question that I asked.
Oh, Jesus
there were people,
Christ.
There were teams at my trivia that couldn't
question?
Even guess. It was which two members of the Beatles were left-handed, and there were people that they couldn't name a single member of the Beatles.
Jesus
Christ. So to me, that's kind of like this weird Handmaid's Tale future where, you know, instead of words and books, we have pictures. People aren't reading. They don't know the names of the Beatles.
Jesus Christ.
All right. Question number two. Here comes Mark. Just
here
like,
comes Mark.
Here comes Mark.
Here I just, come. Point to answer.
Just like astronauts after returning back home to Earth, what kind of bird can only eat if its head is upside down?
Jesus.
I'm just kidding about that first part, by the way. Astronauts can eat right side up when they come back to Earth. But what
Did
I really
you know?
Want to, but what I really want to know, I just want to see who's paying attention. You know, some teams laugh at that and some just take it seriously. They go, all right, I don't understand what the two have to do with each other, but what kind of bird can only eat if its head is upside down?
What bird's he? Bat. Is a bat a bird?
No. God no. It's a sky puppy, my man. That shit's a mammal.
What birds eat upside down? The only thing that I can think of off the top of my head that...
Bats are the only bird that eat their own eggs. Also not true.
They're going to hunt me for sport? Jesus Christ. You're desperately finding a place to put your elbow.
There's not a lot of room over
your
here.
Arm. Just so if you haven't noticed... I do a lot of off-the-cuff talking, and Lee
He's trying
lives,
to divert.
Lee lives by the script and dies by the script. That's why every time he always opens, he's like, hello and welcome to the podcast. Mm-hmm. And I'm always just like, whatever the fuck. I don't know. Where do I do trivia?
I think it's a good mix.
Do I even still do trivia? What bird can only eat upside down?
Just his head. The body can remain upright.
Okay. I'm going to say a flamingo.
You would be correct.
Nice! Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yep, just like the astronauts.
Just like poor old John Glenn came back down. You'd have to go into a special contraption. It would flip him upside down.
That question was inspired partially by the Upright Citizens Brigade.
He would get an inversion table.
They always have good astronaut jabs on that show, if you've ever seen Brigade.
What a shitty thing to jab on.
Yeah, well, that's what makes it funny. Such a celebrated... They really haven't done anything wrong.
They've done only right things. Well, that's not true. A lot of them become alcoholics, I've heard. All right, well...
There goes
our astronaut fan base. All right.
Sorry to Chris Hadfield.
Our bad.
We know you're listening.
All right. Let's go with this one. Rounded to the nearest 10. What percentage of the world's population lives in the Northern Hemisphere? Now, I want to say, I had people put like 72.9. And I was like, first of all.
Tens place.
Can you imagine? can you imagine how hard?
That's rounding to the nearest tenth.
Can you imagine how impossible if I was just doing like a point percentage?
It's all right, like, here's your trivia. Round pi to the nearest 25th decimal point.
It's like, it'd be the most random, like, oh, it's like, you know, fucking 52.9. Who would get that? Terrible.
Yeah, so I'm going to say 72.8. No, I'm just kidding. I will, you know, I feel like it's going to be a lot higher than you expect, but maybe that's just my Northern Hemisphere centrism talking. Antarctica has no people on it, basically, and it's just water, I think, for a lot of it. So yeah, I'm gonna go higher here. I'm gonna say 80%.
The correct answer is 90%.
Wow, okay,
90%. Yeah. But that's pretty nuts. It's pretty wild.
If the answer was 80%, would you be less inclined to make that a question? Or because the 90 is striking.
Well, so, you know, we've talked, you know, a couple times about edutainment. And I actually had a new team that came and played this week. And they were like, we heard, you know, we're here because we heard about the trivia. And I think it was the second round. They were like,
heard about that trivia. You got any questions for me?
They're itching random parts of their body. They were like, yeah, we heard that, you know, your trivia is harder. In the second round, they were like, they were lying, but we're learning a lot of stuff. And I was like, that's it for me. Like, at the end of the day, a hard question is a hard question. The kind of difficult questions I'm asking are going to be only, like very particular to, or, like, only, it's going to be a very particular person that knows it. But in general, the really hard questions are just really hard, period. And it's almost like I'm only asking five questions around with one that's, like, almost more teaching you something than you knowing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I like that too. You know, you got to have a balance. You got to have the super easy one. Like, I had one last night where I asked, what letter of the alphabet has more syllables than any other alphabet? And people are like, that's a little easy. And it's like, first of all, it's the first question. It's worth a singular point. And also, it's themed because it was a sequence question. And then my final question of the night also had a sequence in it. So it's balanced.
Is it W?
It is W. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But it's just to get that part of the brain going. Cycling through the letters, cycling through numbers.
And it sucks to say a team has 0 points every round.
Right.
It's nice to kind of keep them in the game and say, look, you know, here's a semi-easy question. I had a couple easy questions this week.
I will say that the team that could not name a member of the Beatles had 0 point rounds consistently. They were not there for that question, though. So.
Okay.
It showed up late. But here's my next question to you. The year that the Nintendo Entertainment System debuted is also the year that you could last buy issues of Playboy magazine with staples still in the centerfold, presumably because of the massive amount of staples required to make a Nintendo. What year was this? The year that the Nintendo Entertainment System debuted, and also the year that was the last you could buy issues of Playboy magazine with staples still in the centerfold.
NES. I'm going to guess 1986.
You are so close.
85?
Yep.
Fuck!
Yep.
Fuck!
My birth year.
God damn it.
Mm-hmm.
I was so close to saying 85, and I was like, it seems a little too, like, divisible by 5, like 5 or 0. Thought 86. God damn. All right, well.
Hey. You win some, you lose some.
Now, see, this is not a one number up, higher down, extra points depending on how far you get from the actual date.
For this one, you would have gotten 2 points for answering that. It's worth 3 total, so you're 1 year off.
Okay.
So I would have given you 2 points, and then if you go over that.
That's crazy to me.
Well, if you write down.
That's only worth 3 points.
Really?
Because it seems so much harder than that.
Well, sometimes the hard questions, I do... It's not always based on the difficulty of the question.
Oh, for me it is.
The final question is always hard. You know, that one is definitely hard. And then I try to ramp up throughout the night. But the thing is, that's balanced with other questions from that category. So there's a total number of questions that you're going to get from sports and games. That's worth 3% of the.
Yeah,
the
see, I try to have like an easy, a pretty easy, a, you know, a medium, a difficult, a pretty difficult, and a
yeah,
almost fucking impossible.
I worked on, as you know, I worked on this video game, Temple of Yogg, for the Wii U. And it's a really hard retro roguelike game, and it totally fucked up my brain when it comes to game design. I'm like always looking for little ways to factor in extra points and balance things out, you know. So my trivia might be a little over designed at this point, you know.
You're so but, in there.
Yeah, there's you just got to look at the math, man. You say it's not worth 3 points, but that question is exactly worth 3 points, man. Exactly.
On the nose.
All right, what do you got for me?
Let's go with this one. What other country celebrates Republic Day, which marks the signing of a treaty which granted them independence from the United States of America in 1946? So this is celebrated on the 4th of July. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What other country celebrates the 4th of July with Republic Day, which marks the signing of a treaty which granted them independence from the U.S. in 1946?
I'm going to go with the Philippines. I know it's a little quick to answer on that, but I just feel like it might be right. And
what makes you think that? Since you answered so quick and we're not giving people at home a chance to...
It just feels right.
It just feels right. Okay. You're correct. It is the Philippines.
Yeah. I knew that we had some involvement. I want to say that I watched the manufacturing consent documentary about Noam Chomsky, where he talks about U.S. involvement in other parts of the world. And there was some kind of revolution or something in the Philippines around that time period. I think that's where that nugget came from.
Well, that was a fantastic nugget. What a great time to have that nugget.
But see, if I was on a team, I would say that, and somebody would say Guam, and I'd be like, yeah, probably. But I think Guam
a couple people did put Guam.
Yeah, I think we still have a relationship with Guam, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're fuck buddies.
Is that what the term is? The technical term?
Country fuck
buddies. As in they help us fuck up other countries?
We fuck them up and we get fucking rich, probably.
Right. Okay, so that's 3 for you, 3 for me. And we're going to take a short break and offer each other our final questions.
Here, I offer you one final question.
Coming right up. Ready for your final question.
Yeah.
Mark.
Yeah.
Davis.
Uh-huh. All right, I am.
Here it is.
I'm of sound mind and body.
Choreomania refers to a plague that ravaged Europe from 7th to 17th centuries, which is identified by what symptom in its victims? Choreomania.
Can you spell it?
I will. C. H O R E O M A N I A. Choreomania.
And read the question one more time.
Choreomania refers to a plague that ravaged Europe from the 7th to 17th centuries, which is identified by what symptom? In its victims.
Why did you think I was going to get this?
Choreomania. I just have faith in you that you can break that down. I thought you were going to get this. It's okay. You'll get
now
it.
I feel really stupid.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry.
Now
man.
I feel like you were like,
I know.
You've got this. And now I'm like, I don't know it. And I should know it, apparently. You have faith. You had faith
in me, and
I'm letting you down.
I want to say like 60% of the teams got it right.
Jesus Christ. Stop it. You're making me feel worse.
Namibia, bitch.
Choreomania. C-O-R.
I told you I'd remember Namibia. Namibia.
Namibia. C-O-R-E-O, Choreo.
Mm-hmm. Choreomania. It was a plague. It ravaged Europe from the 7th to 17th centuries for like, that's like 100 years.
Choreo.
Wait, no, that's like.
All right, I'm going to say blindness.
That's like 700, or wait, 1,000 years? Shit. I don't know how to tell time. What did you say?
Blindness?
No, it's not blindness.
You looked at me with such pity. No. Mm-mm. No, child.
No, baby. No, it's not. No. It's not blindness.
You right there, if we were closer, you would touch my
It's teeth. Dancing.
Dancing.
Choreograph. Yep. That's why I thought you would get it.
Wow.
Choreomania. It's okay, man. It happens to everyone. It just happened to happen to you live on mic right now.
Yeah, thanks. Live. Namibia. Even though this is going to be recorded. I'm going to force Namibia you at gunpoint is all to I'm take this say. Out. Yeah.
We got to give each other a Namibia.
Namibiba.
Every once in a while.
All right. Here's my final question to you.
All right.
Sid
mm-hmm.
is the real first name of what Sesame Street character? Sid, S-I-D.
Well, it's not Oscar the Grouch, unless Oscar's his last name, but that would be weird.
I will say someone did answer the Grouch last night. They just wrote the Grouch. Maybe because it says real first name. Someone was like, okay, Oscar's just like
his nickname. Well, we all know Oscar's just a trash can name. Trash can nickname. Mm-hmm. Not a real name. Just kidding about that. That was a very loud sip. Yeah. I got two ideas here. One of them is Big Bird, because that's more a descriptor than a name. And I would assume he was given a name at some point.
Mm-hmm.
The other is Snuffleupagus, because that's what we call it. I'm sorry,
what was that name again?
Snuffleupagus?
Mm.
Is that not it?
Snuffleupagus. There's a P in it. Snuffleupagus.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Not Snuffleupagus?
No, Snuffleupagus.
99 Luff Balloons?
99 pug balloon.
So, anyway, that was mostly going to be a joke. I'm going to go with Big Bird.
The correct answer is the Cookie Monster.
Psycho Sid.
The Cookie Monster is in fact Psycho Sid.
Okay. Let's see here. What other Sids are there? There's Sid in the Final Fantasy series who captains the airship.
There's Sid Vicious.
Sid Vicious. What other Sids
fall within? Sids well, there's sudden, Sidney Crosby.
Sudden Infant Death Syndrome.
No, just Sid.
Oh, my bad.
Sudden Infant Death.
Yeah.
Fuck the syndrome part. There's Sidney Crosby.
Mm-hmm.
There's Sidney Poitier. There's some Sidneys.
And the Cookie Monster fits squarely
and in he's right in the group. Middle. Absolutely.
That blue bastard.
That crazy
All right, well, now I know his name is Sid, and so do you. Listeners at home, that this concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name is Lee Brushnida. You can catch me hosting No Nonsense Trivia live on Mondays at Three Pepper Burrito Company in downtown Fort Myers at 7:30. Then again on Wednesdays at Bury Me Brewing Company, also in Fort Myers. That one starts at 7. And every Thursday evening at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in downtown Cape Coral. That show starting at 7:30. Mr. Mark Davis, please tell our listeners where you can be found Wednesday nights.
Wednesday night! At Nice Guys Pizza, located in on Cape Coral Parkway in Cape Coral, Florida, starting at 9 o'clock, ending around 10:30 or so. Get there a little early to make sure you get a spot. Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Hope you had fun. Join us every week for a new episode. Please follow us on Facebook at No Nonsense Trivia Challenge, and don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes and Stitcher. 5 stars only, please. Until next time. Oh, I didn't write a part for this.
See, this is what I'm saying. You live by the script and you die by the script.
I forgot to fill in that blank. See you later, no-nonsense listeners. Insert joke here.